one thing about the Michigan Theater is after you're here for a minute, you're in, because there's nothing like it. I'm here every day. There's nothing like this building.
We have our own mini Fox Theater right here. The walls are just as beautiful, and they all have stories to tell, and those are the stories that we need.
One of the most important parts of the Michigan Theater is celebrating the connection between the past, the present, and even what lie ahead. The Michigan Theater becomes a metaphor for everything that was and is. It's something that gets under your skin. Can't get it out.
The history of theater in Jackson goes back to the middle 1800s. When you had all these speakers on circuits going across the country, they would tend to go to the major gathering halls. You would have people come to the Union Hall, you would have people to the Assembly Hall, Jackson Hall. They would come there and do their things. Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, he went to the Union Hall in 1871. That's basically what you did. You went to these halls, but it was in 1873 when we actually got our first structure, our theater. And Benjamin Mosier, who was a Jackson mayor, he decided he was going to build the Mosier Academy of Music. And this hall was on Luther Street, which we know today as Pearl Street. Now that building is still there, that's Shupak's. And if you go up into the top where they have their archery range, that was part of that first hall. That was the first what you would call structure, the opera house, Mosier's Opera House. Within 9 years, you have Daniel Hibbard. Now, Daniel Hibbard was a big man in town. Daniel Hibbard was gonna build a nice livery downtown, and he wanted to build this thing on the corner of Francis and Cortlandt Street. So he's gonna build this livery, and the town officials say, "Mr. Hibbard, we want another opera house." So what was supposed to be the livery became the Hibbard Opera House. It was the structure that took us from stage into vaudeville. That time was going on in the early turn of the century. That structure was there until about 1897. Major fire took it down. And what was built was another theater, what we would call the Bijou, later the Regent Theater. That was built on that same site. Jackson was a huge theater town. In fact, if you were around in the early 1900s, if you were on Broadway, you knew about Jackson. There was a regular circuit of performers that went across the country. You had some that went to New York City, Broadway. They moved upstate New York, went to Buffalo, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit. And then they jumped over to Jackson to Chicago. I mean, it was a major stop when you traveled with all the top performers. Everybody knows John Wilkes Booth, but his brother was really the one, Edwin Booth, who was the top actor. And when the Hibbard opened, he came here and he did 3 Shakespearean plays. It was a huge thing. The Hibbard Opera House also had Jack Benny in here. Jack Benny was interesting because he wasn't the comedian that people knew him. He would do the violin, and then he learned over time to kind of tweak his show. He was part of a two-person show. It was called Benny and Woods, and Woods would do the piano. And one time when he was performing, Woods didn't make it to town. He missed his train or something. So that's where Jack Benny just did his silly little violin act. And you also had one of my favorite buildings that's still standing is the Anthoneum. And the Anthoneum is located now on the corner of East Washington and Mechanic Street. And it's called the Bloomfield Building. C.C. Bloomfield was a very rich banker, and he decided he wanted to build this theater, and there's another part that was used for the library. He wanted an entertainment cultural corner, and the Anthoneum, when it opened up, had a huge stage. And this became the place where the big-time Broadway people would come into town. They also had the Wright Players. It was a vision out of a gentleman named William Wright, and they were a group of actors, professional ones, They belong to their own little union, and they did 92 weeks in a row of plays. It would start on Sunday, and it would run every day of the week. There were two matinees, Wednesday and Saturday, but every day of the week, you had live theater in Jackson. You had the big theaters doing the performers, but at this point, there's kind of a parallel history where Nickelodeons jumped in. And they basically nickel, you know, you got in. And there was probably a dozen of these up and down Jackson. They take an old storefront. They put a little box office in the front, redo the outside, but the inside was, there's nothing in there but chairs, projector, and a screen. The Recs and the Cool were the ones that last the longest. But there was the Ideal, the Subway. There was a good deal of Nickelodeons up and down.
Come in and check out our delicious and unique cuisine, Bellanote Ristorante. Locally owned and operated, Bellanote Ristorante has fabulous lunch and dinner menus with homemade specialties inspired by the healthy Mediterranean diet. And we use many locally produced ingredients. Let our professional staff make your lunch or dinner a memorable experience at an affordable price. Book your next party or reception in one of our four elegant banquet rooms. With accommodations for up to 250, our banquet rooms are the perfect place to make your next occasion special. Enjoy a selection of over 120 fine wines and 50 foreign, domestic, and draft beers with live entertainment on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Bellanote Ristorante. Casual, comfortable dining.
Hey, class of 2015. Summer's just getting started, but colleges are already preparing for your arrival in the fall. Whether you need help completing your FAFSA, understanding financial aid, or navigating the enrollment process, Jackson College and Career Access Center is here to help. We are your one-stop shop for college prep, help, and resources. So stop in today or visit jacksoncac.org. Our free services will be here all summer to make sure you're ready for your next big step. This message is brought to you by the Jackson County Cradle to Career Network and the Jackson Area College and Career Access Center.
Discover an inescapable adventure. Go inside Cell Block 7, the only prison exhibit operating in a functioning prison. Jackson, Michigan's rich prison history comes alive in Cell Block 7. Once home to some of America's most notorious criminals, this enormous structure was the world's largest walled prison. Today, you can see for yourself, not a replica, but a real prison. Spend some time on the inside. Cell Block 7, as close to prison as you'll ever want to get. Experience Jackson in Cell Block 7, Ella Sharp Museum's permanent prison museum. Visit experiencejackson.com/prison for more information.
I feel secure and safe. I don't really think of living here in the now as much as I think of the future.
A lot of people do take the bus to church, and it's very accommodating. The trips that we take on the bus are special too. They're just really fulfilling.
It's a good senior citizen place to live.
Phantom Retirement Centers, 45 years of still caring.
Having one of those days at work? Come on down to Beach's Office Bar in downtown Jackson. Our cozy casual atmosphere sets the perfect mood for the after work wind down. Drink specials, food, karaoke, and watch your favorite sports team on one of our many big screens. While you're here, grab three friends and have a world-famous shots feed. It's 5 o'clock. Where are you going? Beach's Office Bar in downtown Jackson, your after-work destination.
For your next home or commercial interior design project, visit Copper Orchid Design, located at Art 634. 634 North Mechanic Street, Jackson, Michigan. By appointment or from noon to 4 p.m. every second Sunday of each month. For further information or to schedule a consultation appointment, contact us at 517-782-1010. Copper Orchid Design, helping our neighbors beautify their homes and businesses since 2004.
The Greater Jackson Habitat for Humanity is seeking donations and volunteers. Each gift helps a family in need of decent shelter. There are tax-deductible gifts of money, vehicles, building and home improvement materials. Sites and land are greatly appreciated, and many corporations will match your gift. If you would like to join us in our ministry through in-kind donations and volunteer services, please visit us at 251 West Prospect. Call 784-6620 or visit jacksonhabitat.org. Together, we can make a difference.
W.S. Butterfield was the big man in the movie business. He built movie houses across the nation, mostly up here in the Midwest, New York. Most of the theaters that were big and of quality were Butterfield theaters. And we got a couple of them.
The Capitol Theater opened as it was originally called the Orpheum. And it opened in February, I believe, of 1916. Just a few years later, 1922, they changed the name to Capitol and redecorated a bit. Since then, it was known as Jackson's Temple of Vaudeville.
Vaudeville was at its peak. If you're a low, small vaudeville thing, you might do a show 5-6 times a day. If you are a big, famous one, you did your performance 2 times a day. And in Jackson, we were a 3 times a day vaudeville stage. It was designed to be innovative, yet have luxury. And it had this beautiful asbestos curtain that would come down as a fireproof thing. It had, in the middle of it, Pharaoh's daughter was rescuing Moses out of the bulrushes. It was a beautiful scene, a long lobby, so you could get like 100 people in the lobby before they even went into the show. The organ, the last one that was in there in 1929, had all sorts of little bells and whistles so you could make sounds of trains or birds or any type of horn. There was all sorts of features to that organ. That organ tended to be in the basement, and the organ player, there was a little lift, hydraulic lift, that would move it up to the stage level. Lots of vaudeville went on there. That stage, buoyant, tap dancers loved it. Fred Astaire and his sister Adele, they came here and tapped on the Capitol Theater stage, and 4 years later, they're at their peak and they're on Broadway. Of course, later he went on and had a big, huge, famous movie career. The Marx Brothers were here. And back then, you didn't know them as Groucho and Chico and all them. They just had their own little acts, but they were here multiple times. And when he came to build the Capitol, it was kind of a reward to the community about, I'm going to invest in your town. You're doing great things with all your other theater. It showed us we love theater, and Butterfield knew it. So the Capitol was one of his investments, and then later on, the Michigan Theater.
This theater was the top banana, artistically, visually. It was the biggest, the largest, the most seats. Colonel Butterfield commissioned a Maurice Finkel, and Maurice Finkel was the architect that designed this building and the Ann Arbor, Michigan Theater, and he still has 200 buildings standing in Detroit today. So Maurice Finkel was sort of the mastermind of what you see here.
The excitement of the Michigan Theater was garnered out on the street. The twinkling lights, the marquee. When they walked in, you saw this beautiful ticket lobby. The outer lobby, of course, there was gilded all over the place.
Spanish Baroque architecture had antique artwork, leather seats, velvet.
You would come through the doors into the auditorium and you saw this huge proscenium, this beautiful stage, lovely curtain, and your anticipation would continuously build. This theater, of course, was the first public building that was air conditioned, which, by the way, we're still using the same facilities, the same equipment to cool the theater today.
They would build buildings this way today if they could afford it. 1930, this was $550,000 to build. Well, how does that translate to today's dollars? $16 million, and that doesn't include all the technology.
Of course, it opened April 30th, 1930, to the absolute amazement of the community. We had lines all the way around the block.
It was just at the time that vaudeville was exiting and live motion pictures were entering the scene. So he made it a combination place. People could come in, see vaudeville, dancing, singing, joke telling, and then it was followed by a film. Live performers, they had to get paid a little bit more. Well, that became kind of expensive. Travel, overnight, lodging expenses, food. And when film came into play, film just kind of took over.
There were several theaters in downtown Jackson. None were as big as the Michigan. There was the Majestic, the Rex, the Regent, the Family, the Capitol.
I was head cashier and very proud. You went into the door The doorman would take your tickets. The usher would take you down and seat you with her flashlight. The usher was always at the head of the seats to help anybody that had to get out to go to the restroom or anything so they didn't fall. When the war broke out, there was all these newsreels on what was happening overseas.
This is Europe. This is the wall of the Nazi fortress.
Boy, oh boy, what a day for a swim.
There'd usually be a cartoon along with the regular movie.
Plenty of food. And right now, I'm going swimming.
God with the Wind was one that I could remember that came out then. We had packed theater at every showing.
There was an actor that did the original Frankenstein films, and his name was Boris Karloff. And Boris Karloff was a pretty big star, you know, in his Frankenstein thing. Boris Karloff came here in his Frankenstein garb and scared people in the audience. That's what a celebrity he was. He had to get his makeup on first.
Anybody who came to Jackson knew there were a lot of theaters, but it was also kind of a grade. You went to the Michigan Theater for the first runs, and then you would have like the Family Theater over on Otsego, and these would be second grade movies, B movies, we would call them back then.
But the Michigan Theater had it all, and it was just impossible to envision coming into another theater and getting that wonderful, warm, anticipatory feeling. That was not available in the other theaters. It just simply was not. And it was a nickel. It was wonderful. It was a good place to come and lose your woes that you had in 1930.
Voted Jackson's best drive-thru, Jackson Coffee Company's Airport Road location prides itself on fast, friendly service. With a wide variety of menu items, there's something for everyone. Come give us a visit and see why we are Jackson's best.
When was the last time you visited the library? With 13 locations across Jackson County, the Jackson District Library has a branch close to you. With free wireless internet access, computers for public use, DVDs, books, classes, magazines, and music, the Jackson District Library has a wealth of information and entertainment for young and old. Visit us online at myjdl.com to find your nearest branch and check out our schedule of events and available online resources. The Jackson District Library and myjdl.com.
Big time talent right in your backyard. The Affinity Series is bringing high talent national touring acts to downtown Jackson's Weatherwax Hall at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra. Come and enjoy some of the nation's best acts in an intimate setting right here in downtown Jackson. Head to jacksonsymphony.org and click on the Affinity tab for the details on upcoming shows, buy tickets, and become a member. The Affinity Series at the JSO.
Searching for a location for your next event? Jackson College's Continental Catering can help make your wedding reception, birthday celebration, business meeting, or special event a big success. We offer a variety of menu options and can handle anything from hors d'oeuvres or pastries, sit-down dinner or buffet, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, small or large groups, casual or formal. We can plan the menu that suits your occasion and fits your budget. Continental Catering will assist with all of your event planning needs. Memorable events start here. Call today to speak with one of our culinary professionals at 517-783-1521.
How many ways can you be comfortable? An energy-efficient Infinity air conditioner by Carrier can save you up to 56% on your cooling costs, while also reducing your impact on the environment. which is better for where you live and better for where we all live.
Turn to Lammers Heating and Air Conditioning, your local Carrier experts.
Don't miss out on the Summer Kids series at the Michigan Theater all summer long. Go to michigantheater.org or call 783-0811 for more information.
The Pickle Barrel Deli is proud to be serving again from downtown Jackson. Stop in for fresh-made deli sandwiches, soups, and salads. The Pickle Barrel Deli. Keep it local, keep it fresh.
Everyone knows a frame above is quality custom framing, but did you know our boutique has beautiful fashions and accessories? We carry gorgeous handbags, clothing, scarves, and stylish fun-to-wear jewelry. Discover specialty gifts perfect for any occasion like Susie Toronto mugs, Michigan and Michigan State merchandise, and candles that have jewelry inside. We will spoil you with rock star parking in the Blake Building lots in spots 2 through 8. Come see what's always new at A Frame Above at 180 West Michigan Ave in downtown Jackson, across from City Hall.
New Mobility Solutions is Mid-Michigan's premier handicapped van dealer. We can add a conversion to your van or choose from over 40 new or pre-owned in-stock vehicles on location. Are you in need of a rental? We have you covered, and renting has never been easier. Financing is available, and we take trades. A family-owned business serving our community and the United States with quality, dependable handicap vans. New Mobility Solutions. Visit us today.
Instead of going home and turning on cable TV, you went to the films.
There weren't other things to do like there are now. And people didn't have TVs at home. So everybody, that was their entertainment.
When competition became really strong, I think it was probably by the 50s. But I don't think necessarily it was always the competition that knocked them out. I think you had television come in. You didn't need to go to the theater to see the news clips. You did that during World War II to see what was going on. But once you had television, you had your nightly newscasts. And so with the advent of television, your movie theater audience dropped significantly.
It's very difficult, though, to get 1,300 people to come and want to watch the same thing. People want choices.
Once you got into the 70s and you had these mega theaters complexes coming in, any of these theaters that were in the main city blocks lost all the business to the big mall complexes, not just in Jackson. That happened across the state.
The shopping centers opened up and all of them had theaters, and people went to them because they didn't shop downtown anymore.
It really was kind of the kiss of death for like the Capitol, because they put Progress Place Mall in there in the 60s. And how are you gonna get to the theater at night, you know, walk up there? You couldn't. You had to park far away, and then you had to go down Progress Place Mall. So that really didn't help the situation. They closed in 73, and by 75, the county was looking at it. They actually wanted the back end of it, the actual theater part, to be made into a parking lot. And there was a group of people in town. They really wanted to save the Capitol.
My brother and I were cleaning out our basement, and we found this one article that I have that my mom kind of did a lot of clippings, and I remember reading that, and it just made it seem so exciting, and that's not what was going on in our time. Then we started fantasizing about buying the theater or something and renovating it, restoring it to what it was, and bringing live theater to downtown Jackson. And then we see in the Citizen Patriot, you know, county eyes old theater for a parking lot. We were just devastated, you know. And then my brother just started making a bunch of phone calls. A lot of people got involved. They were writing letters to the Voice of the People. They were calling the county commissioners, begging them to not tear it down. Just thinking of what could be if it was saved kept us going. We were very young and naive and thought that, you know, you build it, they'll come. It got pretty emotional. You know, we were really, really wanted to do this. A lot of people really wanted to save it, but the powers that be really needed to have their parking right outside the door, even after they started tearing the stage down. You know, we could still save it.
They looked at it as the property and in the back, and it just didn't happen. You know, when you don't have the community support like that, it was real easy to let the capital just go away.
Well, I think this theater was actually set to be demolished, but 10 people stepped up. Those 10 people were set on saying, no, we're not going to do it. And they invested a lot of time and their own personal money into making sure that it didn't go down.
First of all, there were three groups who tried to save this theater. One started out, was unable to. The second one stepped in and again was unable to. 10 of us got together. We bought the theater, yes, for a dollar from the city of Jackson. However, we took on a ton of liability and we took on a ton of expense.
There were some pretty big failures and really bad feelings in the community towards this building. People hated it because it soaked up a lot of money and nothing to show for it.
The whole reputation of the theater had to be restored. And that's what we've done over the last 20 plus years. We've invested millions of dollars in this building. People understand now when the theater says they're going to have an act or a performance, it's going to take place. And they're going to be in air-conditioned comfort or warmly heated.
You know, this is 22 years later and it's still going. It's not restored yet, but it's better and it's gonna keep going.
So my charge was to not only make a go of it, but bring it right back to where it was in 1930 in April. And to make it exactly like that with updated everything, that's my job. It's a great challenge to stay current and to stay relevant in this county, and we found that one of our main ways to stay relevant is to make it very affordable. The Michigan Theater offers something that no one else can, and that is its sheer beauty.
It's one of the most beautiful historic venues that we have in this community. If we don't learn from history, we don't learn at all. We can't learn from future events. We need to have people experience those things.
Our big push is coming in 2016, and that's when we're going to ask everyone to make a small sacrifice financially. And through that small sacrifice, we're going to restore this building to its glory. And we are on the precipice, I say. We are ready. We are poised and ready to make it right and safe and functional and beautiful and something for Jackson County to be very proud of.